To get to the tiny village of Kittredge, Colorado, which for 5 days in 1987 became the unlikely center of the political solar system, you have to take the interstate about 10 miles west of Denver and then follow Bear Creek Avenue as it winds its way up the mountain. Your average navigation device will get you pretty close, but Gary Hart, despite having once been an evangelist for the digital age, doesn't really believe in such wizardry, so he insisted I follow him from downtown. This was a clear July day in 2009, with the heat visibly baking the city sidewalk. He poked his head into my driver's side window like a nervous father, genuine concern in his gray-blue eyes, as he ran through the list of turns we would soon be taking, in which I couldn't possibly have remembered. Then he jumped into his red Ford Escape, a hybrid, of course, and started toward the entrance to I-70. I followed him for 20 minutes or so, until just before we hit Bear Creek Canyon, near a row of touristy restaurants and gift shops. There, he unexpectedly alit, leaving the Escape idling in the middle of the road with the door wide open, and approached my window. "Did I show you Red Rocks last time you were up here?" he asked. I mentally winced, remembering my last trip out here to interview him almost 7 years earlier, and the painful story that had come of it. Hart now professed not to remember that incident in our relationship, and I came to see that this was his most common defense mechanism. When he wished not to revisit something in his life, he often affected a kind of fogginess about it, as if it existed only in his mind and could somehow be expunged. I said no, I hadn't seen Red Rocks, and he assured me it was worth a look. And so we headed for Red Rocks Park and brought our cars to a stop in a deserted gravel lot, maybe 100 yards from the breathtaking copper cliffs and boulders, the kind of thing one can find only in the American West or the Arabian Desert, into which Franklin Roosevelt's WPA had ingeniously carved what is now a famous American amphitheater. The rocks were brilliantly lit in the midday sun, which burned our uncovered heads as we trudged up a steep incline toward the amphitheater's entrance. I found myself breathing heavily in the mile-high air, but I was more aware of Hart, who labored audibly despite his legendary ruggedness. Wouldn't it be his luck to collapse in the company of a journalist, a member of the fraternity he had resented all these years? The most famous picture from Hart's first presidential campaign, where he came from nowhere in 1984 to stalemate Walter Mondale and overturn the aging Democratic establishment in the process, was the one from New Hampshire, in which the flannel-clad candidate had just managed to hurl an axe through a log from a distance of 40 feet. At least Hart remembered it as being 40 feet. No one was going to quibble with him now. Hart had been youthful even in middle age, his chestnut hair evocatively Kennedy-esque, his smile magnetic and knowing. Glancing sidelong at the 72-year-old Hart now, though, I saw that he had developed a paunch and was slightly stooped, his arms swinging crookedly at his sides. He wore black pants and a black Nike polo shirt, from which tufts of chest hair sprouted near the unbuttoned collar. His famous mane, still intact but now white and unruly, framed a sunburned, square-jawed face. From a short distance, you could easily have mistaken this older Hart for Charlton Heston. "When I announced for president in 1987, we did it right up there," Hart said, pointing toward a rock formation at the top of the hill. He had a strange mannerism, which some of his longtime acolytes still liked to ape good-naturedly, in which he would raise his bushy eyebrows several times in quick succession before making some wry observation. Flicker, 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 the eyebrows went. "Those reporters looked like they were going to drop," he said in his Kansas-bred twang. I tried to imagine the podium set against the red rocks and blue sky, the crush of cameras and the palpable sense of history. Hart's aides had wanted him to do something more conventional, with a ballroom and streamers and all of that, but he had insisted on standing alone against the mountainous backdrop, near the amphitheater he had called a symbol of what a benevolent government can do. Pledging to run a campaign of ideas, he had added, in words that later seemed ominous, "Since we are running for the highest and most important office in the land, all of us must try to hold ourselves to the very highest possible standards of integrity and ethics, and soundness of judgment and ideas, of policies, of imagination, and vision for the future.